Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you're here with us today, and we're looking forward to a high time in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I know I'm happy about all that God is doing, all that God is saying, all that God is revealing. And we're looking forward to him doing greater things in the days ahead. You have to look at your neighbor, tap somebody, just testify to someone, and let them know that the greater is ahead, greater days ahead. Amen. As we get ready to go into the Word, we want to take some time and just deal with our announcements. And I'm going to turn that over to Prophetess Crystal, but before I do, I just want to encourage you all to go to our website. We're working on it and revamping it and doing some new things, and there you'll find a couple of links on there on the media page. You know, that media page, when you go to it, you'll actually be able to find or see a few links for YouTube. And I've heard people say, well, we haven't seen you minister or prophetess. We know that y'all do a teaching format here, but you know, we heard that y'all preach too. Well, if you go to that YouTube link, you'll be able to click on that. It'll take you to our YouTube channel, which is CTKRM or CTKR Ministries. That's one word, CTKR Ministries. And there you'll see and be able to witness us ministering the Word of God. There's two messages up on our website right now. Myself ministering the Word, What's in a Little Spit? Amen. And I hope the name catches your ear. But you need to actually hear to understand the context and what's being said there. And then Prophetess Crystal is ministering the Word, Has Success Caused You to Forget God? My goodness, my great goodness gracious. And the Lord used her mightily with this sermon. I want you all to go there and tune in and drop us a text or drop us a message. Let us know that this has been a blessing to you. You can leave it right on the bottom of the YouTube screen there. And we'll get it that way. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which is Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Woman of Prophetic Destiny. Either one of those pages, you'll be able to contact and communicate with us. We're looking forward to what God has to do, what God has to say, and we want to come and minister with you and for you. All you have to do is let us know, and we'll pray and ask the Lord for direction, make ourselves available, and then come, let us break bread, let us fellowship together. There is going to come on October
18th and 19th.
This is a good segue for me to turn it over to Prophetess Crystal so she can finish the announcement and go ahead and give us our prayer. Tell us what's happening October 18th and 19th, 2013.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. October 18th and 19th, I'm inviting you personally to join me for Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. That's October 18th and 19th. We are going to be located in the beautiful city of Cocoa at the Greater St. Paul Baptist Church. That's the Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, amen, at 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. Amen? That's 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. We are excited, amen, of what God is getting ready to do in the place.
My.
He has not disappointed me yet in all the years that he has given me the mandate to host this conference. And not only is this conference open to women, but it's also open to men too. Haven't forgotten about your brothers. We need you just as well. Amen. But we have exciting guests that will be coming, minstrels. Amen. Pray, powerful praise and worship. The word of God will be coming forth. Signs, wonders, and miracles do happen during this time of the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. And this year's theme is do not forget or abort your assignment. I'm going to say that again. Do not abort your assignment. It's coming out of the book of Nehemiah. And we also are going to have, workshops, powerful workshops being taught by powerful men and women of God. More information is quickly soon to come. I do want you to join me right here, www.ctkr. We're going to bring it live. But you know what? Better than that, I want to see you live in the place at Greater St. Paul Baptist Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Yes. More information is coming, women of God, men of God. I want to see you there. Amen. And amen. Oh, also, got a little happy right there. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. And then meet me for Prophetic Atmosphere on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Amen. That's Thursday night at 7 p.m. Right here, you can hear us, www.ctkr.org. People of God, we have some more things that are coming in the works real soon. More Women of Prophetic Destiny conferences are going to be coming in your area. If you wish for myself and my husband to host or to minister, host a Women of Prophetic Destiny conference or to come minister at your church, as you're looking at our website, go to our contact page. Leave us your information. Amen. Give us your name, a contact number, and an email. Someone will get with you immediately within 12 to 24 hours. We would love to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ at your church.
Let me jump in right here. When you go to the website to mention us coming, understand that as the Holy Spirit speaks and he gives clearance to come, we come. And we're not, I won't say that we're high maintenance. That's a nice way to say it. We understand that there are things that are going on that the Lord calls you to and you're putting together. And sometimes you want a fresh voice, a fresh word from the Lord, and you're looking for somebody that you can bring in. And a lot of times what happens is you look or you hear somebody and you say, I think they would be good. And then you start dealing with their people. Lord help. And you get this laundry list of things that they have to have and the level that they're expecting. And it supersedes really the assignment, but we're not like that. When the Lord tells us to go, sometimes we go and be a blessing, knowing that the people who need to hear the word cannot afford, to monetarily bring us in, amen, to do that. But we're not running after the dollar. We're running after the assignment. So if the Lord places it on your heart, you contact us, we will pray, we will let you know what the Spirit of God is saying, and then we'll come to an arrangement, an agreement, that way we can make sure that we're not coming to fleece the flock, amen, but we allow you to be a blessing to the gift of God that he's bringing in your midst, amen?
Amen and amen. Listen, with all the information has been given, we want you to govern yourself accordingly and keep those dates in mind, amen, October 18th. And 19th,
yes.
The Prophetic Destiny Conference.
Yes.
And as the weeks are coming in, you're going to hear more and more and more. I want to see you there. Now, as we have said all of that, let us look to the Lord, because I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hear the word of God.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. Come on, people of God, let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we praise you. We magnify, we glorify you. We are just standing here in your presence, excuse me, giving your name reverence, giving your name glory, giving your name honor. Father, as we come this evening, Lord, we just lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. We lay aside our day. We lay aside everything that has distracted us. God, we come before you with our hands uplifted, our hearts open, our minds elevated, ready to receive. We're here to give your name praise. We're here to give your name glory. We're here to give your name honor. We're here to worship the most holy, high name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, even now, if we have not lived or acted perfectly in word, deed, or action, Father, we ask for forgiveness right now. We ask you to wash us and cleanse us in your blood. Purify our hearts, our minds this day, so that when, as we lift up our hands, as we open up our mouths to say hallelujah, it will be a sweet incense to your nostrils. Our hands will be clean. Our minds will be pure. Our hearts will be affixed and attuned to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the open doors. God, I thank you for the signs, wonders, and miracles. I thank you for the states that you're opening up to the ministry. I thank you for allowing us to go on assignment, God, and complete your will and your work in the kingdom of God in the earth. Now, Father, I thank you for every person that has been assigned to this broadcast. I thank you, God, in believing that you are changing their lives. You're shifting them. You're shaking them. You're challenging them. You're opening up. You're pushing them. You're guiding them, God. They're going deeper in your word, deeper in living holy for you, deeper in their assignment. God, they are moving quickly. We're thanking you, God, because you're raising up a generation that's not going to look to the left or the right. We thank you, God, you're raising up prayer warriors. Father, we thank you that you're waking up those who are already prayer warriors and intercessors and watchmen and watchwomen that have been asleep. You're awakening them now in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you've given us power over the gates of hell. You've given us power and authority over the hand and the plans of the enemy. Lord, we thank you right now for the signs, wonders, and miracles, the healings, God, that are going to be taking place in the name of Jesus. Father, even now, crown the apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as he begins to elaborate and bring with clarity your purpose, your will, and helping us to understand your people so that we can walk in obedience and complete and fulfill your assignment in the earth in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we just release ourselves to you, we say, have your way, Holy Spirit, in this place. Have your way in the word. Have your way in the message. Move however you want to move. Get your point across on this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we just thank you and praise you and glorify you for this day that you have made. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that dynamic, awesome, powerful prayer.
Yes,
we're just grateful that the Lord chooses to use us. And I'm just going to say this. Too often we become complacent, you know, with the fact that we minister. But I want you to know that it could have been somebody else. Someone else could have the words of life that they could minister. And the Holy Spirit gives us an opportunity, and then he validates that he's given that opportunity by giving us revelation in the Word of God, and also by miracles, signs, and wonders that follow. So we're just grateful that he uses us that way. Today we're going to go, tonight we're going into the Word of God in Ephesians, the first chapter. Holy Spirit begins to speak to me concerning this passage of Scripture, and I begin to look at it and take it apart. And I want you to know that God is calling us to revival in the land. We're talking about, as of the past week or so, we've been talking about everything that has been happening with the relationships in the United States, race relationships as it relates to Trayvon Martin, the verdict. Now we're starting to get different things coming out from that case of how the testimony, the prosecution, and other things were done subpar and looked over information and evidence that was released after the fact that would have enlightened everybody in the case. You know, there are things that are now coming out. The fact that George Zimmerman actually had a violent past and several run-ins with the law, things that he had gotten off with, like his niece that, per the report, that he had sexually molested for a period of 10 years, how he got out of that and why he was even cleared to carry a weapon with the allegation, we don't know, you know. But there are some things that are coming to light now in a way to try to make him seem like an okay guy. The overturned van that he went and killed four people out of, you know, looks like more of a publicity stunt than it actually looked like he was doing a good deed, because he's not a good person.
No, he's not.
You know, and the other side of that is, when you look at it, it's ironic, someone said, and I thought it was interesting myself. They said it's ironic that he could go and help four people get out, get four people out of an overturned van. Yet and still, he couldn't get a 125-pound boy off of him that he said he felt threatened for. You know, it's just ironic, you know. But before we, rather than go into all of that again, let's just say that there's revival in the land. The Lord is calling the church back to the forefront, and we need to have his vision and understand what he's saying to us. I prayed or I ministered a word just a few weeks ago. Don't faint, don't worry. God's working out his plan, his ultimate plan in your life. And we have to understand that even at this time, that we don't faint. We don't get weary. We're not worried. You know, we're going to keep moving forward. So as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, I began to read the word, and he took me right here to Ephesians, the first chapter, and I began to read. And it basically, just starting at the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Listen, you have to understand, first of all, who you are in Christ. And I think it's so much confusion and turmoil that's going on, because everybody has every other identity accept the identity of Christ. Amen. We're supposed to be the children of God, and we have no markings of our Father. We have no semblance of Him. We have traded holiness for manifestation. And when I talk about manifestation, I'm talking about physical manifestation. What are you talking about? Yes, we love this high worship and everything. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your cars, your houses, things that you tangibly could put your hands on. You think that right there is what the Spirit of God is about. But He's about holiness and righteousness. So now the church, when it should have a voice and could stand up, we don't have a voice because we stop speaking the Word of God. Oh, well, I read this scripture, and it says abundant life, abundant living, and what? Okay, it does say that. But you have to understand what's really being said there, amen? Because they have twisted it in your hearing. Lord, help us. Let's see what he's really talking about when he goes to this. He says, Paul, first, an apostle of Jesus Christ by, number one, the will of God. See, today we have too many people taking titles because they see what comes along with it. Uh-huh. Amen. But you don't understand that this title that you're taking on, when you try to become greater than what God called you, leads you into trying to, you're living a lie. And if that lie is what you're living, then you have no truth that you can stand upon. That's why you have no power in kingdom work. Because it's a lie. It's a fallacy. You're putting forth an image that you want people to see. But if you're going to be who God called you to be, you're going to be that by the will of God. Paul here then is speaking, and he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You see that? Yes. By the will of God. You see that? First of all. Second, to the saints who are in Ephesus and, look at this word, faithful in Christ Jesus. So you got to be called by God,
yeah,
and then you got to be faithful in your calling. So who Paul is writing to now is really those who are of the church. You see that? To the saints who are in Ephesus. That's to people who may read this. This is not a to whom it may concern letter. This epistle isn't written to that. In Ephesians, he's writing to the church there. And while he's writing to them, he wants them to know a few things. And he gets into it in the third verse. He says, in the second verse, he says, grace to you. Notice he didn't start with riches or anything else. He didn't start with material blessings. He started with grace. Amen? So what is grace? Grace is, the word there is charis or charis, depending on how you pronounce it. That's the word we get charismatic or charisma from. Amen? And what it really means is it means kindness or grace, or it means goodwill or favor towards someone. So what he's saying there, basically, he's saying kindness and favor to you and peace from God. So who is extending favor towards you? It's God. Do you see that? And peace comes from Him, and He's extending that as well. From God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gets into this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You see that? So now, when we begin to look at this and take this apart, the first thing we have to understand is that God's will for our lives is that we are blessed. If you're going to be a child of God, if you're going to be one who belongs to the Father and adopted into the family, part of the beloved, then you have to understand that God's will for your life is for you to be blessed. Now, being blessed does not denote that you have to have money and material things. Hello, somebody. See, when I went to Africa, I found that they had very little, but they had great faith in God. I witnessed men and women walk for miles and miles. I'm not talking about a mile or two. I'm talking about 10 miles. I still remember being over in one of the villages where we ministered, and there was two men who rode in on bikes. And as we were driving back in the vehicle, we had a couple of stops that we made, and we were on the way back home to the place where I was staying. And we were coming up this hill in the dark. The only light out there was the headlight that was on the truck that we were riding in. And then as we were coming up the hill, I started seeing reflectors off the side of the road. And as we got closer, it was those two brothers, the two ministers who had on their suits and were riding the bikes trying to get back home. And I believe at that point, we hadn't yet got to Harambe in Kenya. They were on their way to Bungoma, amen, which was another 15, 20 miles past Harambe. You see that? So these men had come all the way to where we had the meeting and was riding their bikes back home, because they were hungry for the word of God. How many of you won't even walk to the corner church looking for the van to come pick you up because you don't feel like walking? See, that's the whole thing, is that we have made this about what we have, and we've forgotten what we have. See, blessings and grace and peace upon you is what he's given us, and he's promised us as his children. You see that? But we have changed that over to riches, wealth, prosperity. We want to be liked by everybody. We want everybody to see us as somebody important. My brother and sister, if you're going to be anybody in God, if you're going to be anybody in the kingdom, first of all, you got to become nobody. Amen? What did Jesus say? He said that the greatest shall be the least, and the least shall be the greatest. So if you want to go up, you got to learn how to go down. We haven't learned that. We're trying to grab onto everything that will make us look more important than the next person. One person comes in and they have on a chain and it looks big. So we go off to the store to find a chain that's going to be bigger than theirs, because we want everybody to see us as grander than them. Well, guess what? You can have a chain on that you could tug a ship with. If you don't have the anointing of the Lord in your life, you didn't do nothing but go spend money on a show that you can't produce. You got to go back to the sons of Sceva. They went out. They heard what was happening when the apostles were walking around using the name of Jesus, and they wanted to have that for themselves, and they began to use that, and they came across the right one. And why do you say the right one instead of the wrong one? Because the one that they came across taught them a lesson. We don't hear about whether or not they took that, learned from it, got their lives together, and reassessed themselves, reapplied themselves, and then with recommitment to Christ, came back and began to do what they were trying to do before. We don't see that. We don't know that. So we can just go off of what we see. And what we see is that they were using a formula that they were not connected to. We command you, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached, to come out. Well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the Bible says and testifies that that man who was demon possessed whipped them and stripped them naked. I said it before, it's a shame that all these people walking around with these titles have to have so many armed security guards around them. Back in the day when you came up against a real man or woman of God, the power of God protected them. Huh? I told you last week we were sitting with some saints, and they was talking about how they were doing street ministry, and they said the man came out and he was drunk, and he came up and he was about trying to hit the reverend, drew his hand back and his arm stuck in the air. You see that? What did the people around him start doing? They started praying when they saw the confrontation. The man of God, the reverend, kept preaching the gospel. You understand? He didn't run and hide. He didn't ignore him. He kept preaching the gospel to him. The man's arm was stuck in the air until the Holy Spirit released him. And when it released him, they found out that he was a preacher who had backslid and had walked out, walked away from the church. See, you think that everybody out there who has a vice and ain't looking right, ain't smelling right, is somebody who just came up in sin and degradation. No, some people have been hurt in the church. And we who are spiritual, according to the word of God, should have went and got them to restore them. But we left them out there. And God is calling for revival. Who's getting revived? Those who have been turned away. The stones that the builders of your own private empire, your private kingdom, the stones you throw away and you reject it, those stones the Lord is using to build his kingdom. God is calling for that in this day. You're about to see some people that you've written off come back full circle with a greater anointing than you ever had, because they went through the process. They went through the process because you put them through the process. You thought it was for their destruction, but God knew how to use your evil for their good. Lord, help us today. This is about to be something. Those who are trying to settle out and sell out, God is about to move you out. You want to be out there in friendship with the world? You'll have a bunch of friends in the world, but you won't have any anointing on your life. You got to ask yourself what is more important in this day and time. Yeah, a lot of movement, making a lot of noise. It was interesting. There was a ministry that Prophetess and I went over. A young man was being ordained, and when we got there, everything was going well, and a demon manifested in the church. Man's face changed shades of color, his eyes changed, everything. If you would have been there, you would have known this was something that you didn't have to be spiritual to know that we were dealing with a demonic presence. Amen. And it wasn't the person being ordained. He was they were consecrating the church and installing the pastor. But one of the members who had been coming had an issue. Amen. And he was demonically possessed. That demon manifested, and the consecrator didn't have power and authority, amen, to deal with it. So you're watching this fiasco go around the front of the church, and they're moving all the chairs trying to get out the way because it's going on. And one of the men of God came in. He got there late. An apostle came in and saw what was going on and said, Oh, Jesus. And touched the man on the head. The man stopped instantly and collapsed to the floor. His color came back to himself. His eyes came back like they were before. You see that? What was going on is the person who was doing the consecration was dealing with this prosperity theology. Afterwards, we were talking, me and the apostle and a couple of others, and something was said that I remember clearly to this day. They said, you know what? That theology and that money and that stuff don't do nothing to help you when there's a demon running loose. So people have been looking, pastors who have gotten tired of going through dealing with boards who want to give them little nothing while they driving and taking everything. The church has $500,000 in savings and in the general fund and all of that, and the pastor has to fight to get $25,000 or whatever to drive a car. The deacons, the trustees are all driving Mercedes and everything else. The pastor sitting there struggling to keep his car running. He got a Cadillac, but it's about 10 years old. And they're like, well, you know, we don't want him to get too big. Okay, well, listen, the Bible says muscle, not the ox, number one. Number two, when you present that and your job is to take care of the man and the woman of God, then you put yourself in an awkward position. Number three, you have some of those pastors who have decided that if they can find a way to make more money, to live better while doing the gospel, that's what they're going to do. And in comes this theology that takes those hurting pastors and ministers and teaches them how to preach money. Hello, somebody. And as they preach money, people hear the gospel from their authoritative position, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They take it and say, well, I heard it from a credible spiritual source. It must be true. And they begin to give money at that level, believing that they're going to get blessed. But all the pastor and the evangelist and the apostle and prophet is doing is they're using that position to make themselves wealthy. How about we do it like the Bible said? In the Bible, in the Levitical law, we see that the priests and the Levites were cared for. If we get back to the model that was there, then we can stop them from trying to fleece the flock. But it also do another thing. Number four, it will take care of those who come in wolf's clothing into the flock. They'll be noticed. Right now, people look the same. And no one has spiritual discernment to tell the difference. I was sharing with a bishop earlier today. He was telling me a story, something similar to that. And he said, you know, there was a man who came through. He was he looked homeless, didn't smell right, you know, was unkempt, hair was undone and everything else. But he said the Lord sent him to our area to help bring the churches together. And he wanted to do a fellowship that will bring all the churches together. Now, in that area, they already have ministerial alliances and everything else. So, you know, he came around there and started finding out, you know, the names of some of the members there. And you know, he was just somebody that they saw but didn't pay a lot of attention to. Well, it was a couple of weeks after that, the man came and talked to this particular bishop. And this time he was clean shaven, hair done, had on some new clothes and everything else, and began to sit down with them and tell him about the plan that he had to try to bring the churches together in the area. Well, what he had done was when he went by that ministerial alliance, he got all their names and went out and started trying to get vendors or sponsors for this program that he was trying to put together. And from the proceeds that the sponsors were giving him for sponsorship, he bought his clothes. He got his hair together. He began to do other things. And, you know, so his appearance and everything looked like it wasn't. But he never came in. He has no spiritual covering. He doesn't belong to a church. He has no ministerial training or anything else. Do you see the problem here? The people giving to him didn't know that he had no backing and no foundation. Now, what happens when people find out that he came as a shyster in there to do that? Now, when a church needs to do something, you see?
Yep.
Now, they said, well, you know, the last time we did this.
Exactly what we said.
So, it's important for us to understand what our job is. We have to make sure, you see, that there's integrity and character here. And people are using everything that they can to try to deceive today. But God gives us more grace.
Amen.
And more grace. Amen?
Amen.
Let me get right here with this. It says, blessed be the God of our Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, I don't have to become a shyster in order to get what God has for me. All I have to do is remain in Christ. Matthew 6, What's that? Matthew 6 and 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is he talking about? All these things. Well, if you read back up to the 19th verse, he begins this whole section right here, the topic here, and the focus and the context. It starts here in 19th verse. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Be heavenly minded. You see that? Where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then it goes on and talks about how we perceive things. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you deal with this image visualization, I love an Audi, so I got an Audi as my screensaver. I got Audi pictures. I got one sitting up on my mirror because I'm just focusing on what I really want. I'm visualizing it. What you're doing is you're using something that is not Christian, amen, and some scripture to try to mix something that will work for you. Huh? That goes into Hinduism and Buddhism, amen. And it's that prosperity we're talking about, amen. Oh, why is the prosperity part so bad? Because it's not in line with the scripture, amen? Jesus says the poor will be with us always, didn't he? So at no point, we have to deal with the church in Smyrna. We have to deal with the church in Macedonia. We have to deal with the offering that the church of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians was getting together to give to the church in Jerusalem because they were in dire straits when it came to finances and needs. So if God was dealing with that, I haven't even gotten into the life that the apostles were living. Huh? See, all this prosperity and God's will for us, prosperity would have been dealt and shown to us by those who wrote the Gospels, those who went through. Amen? It would have been proven by them by their opulent lifestyle. You see that? But they didn't live that lifestyle. And the churches that they dealt with weren't living in opulence. Amen? 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, we find out that the church of Macedonia was poor. A church of poverty. Amen? What does Jesus say as he's walking through the lampstands, the church of Smyrna? He says, though you are poor, you are rich. He didn't remove the candlestick from them because they were poor. You see that? He was encouraging them to go through. So this gospel that tells you that if you're not demonstrating the power of God through the opulent life that you live, you're not properly representing Christ, is a trick of the enemy, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? Yes, you can take it that Apostle Christopher McQueen on today said that. Amen? It's a lie and a trick from the enemy. Amen? He says right here, the lamp of the body is the eye. So what you see is what you desire. Huh? What did James say? He said, let no man say that when he's tempted of God.
Right.
Okay? He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away after his own lust. Okay? It's what your eye sees and desires. You see that? Huh? What does it say here? Let me finish reading this. It says, therefore, in the 22nd verse, Matthew 6:22, therefore, if your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light.
Uh-huh.
Huh? But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or else be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. So what he's saying is all of this stuff here, men are looking after, and they're wanting it. They want the money. They're trying to get more and more. They're caring about the day. Therefore, do not say what, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It's not like more than food, the body more than clothing. And then he goes on and explains the birds of the air. You see that? They're not sowing and reaping. For all of you false preachers out there trying to use the seed offering to boost up your numbers coming in, get back to preaching the gospel and people will respond to the word of God. Amen. Not the twist on the word of God. Amen. So when we get down here to the 31st verse, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And listen to this, the 32nd verse. For after these things the Gentiles seek, better cars, bigger houses, more money. You see that? That's what the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. In other words, he says, I know you can't be walking.
Yeah.
I know you can't live over there in the shanty.
Right.
I know you got to get some new shoes because you keep putting cardboard in them and they wore out. I know you don't need to live and look like that. You represent me. I know that you need to look good. I know that you need to have this stuff. But let me show you how I'm going to give it to you. Thank you. 33rd verse. But seek first. That's where we get into this. Your Father knows, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, what? The cars, the houses, and all the rest of that will be added to you. The problem is that we got to focus off of the seek ye first and start focusing on the cars and everything else. We don't know who we are. So we're chasing after blessings, huh? That were already given to us and belong to us. That's why here in Ephesians, the first chapter, as we look at this, it says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I just read for you, lay not up treasures on earth, but up in heaven. You see that? So he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. As long as you focus on Christ, you're good. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. You see that? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So our job then is to live a holy life. You see that? To walk this life out, seeking his faith, his will, without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons. And that's why I said you don't know who you are when you're running after the things that God has already given you. Through your obedience, you receive it.
Amen.
Huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Eve was deceived in the garden because she was trying to get something that she already had. She had a flawless relationship with God. God came to them. They didn't have to try to find him. He came to them in the garden. And yet and still, she sought something that she already had. Messed herself up. How many of you have messed yourself up running after things that God hasn't released to you? When your obedience is fulfilled, then the release comes. He blesses obedience to his plan and his will. And it happens on his time. You understand? Because some of you will get it right now because you've just been wanting and waiting on it, and you're not ready for it. People around you aren't ready for it. We know you're not ready for it because when you get a little blessing, you try to flaunt it in everybody's face. Look at what I got, and y'all ain't nothing because y'all ain't got it. Well, guess what? That's what discredits you and keeps you from getting the next blessing. When the blessing that you get causes your arrogance and your pride to stand up instead of the glory of God through you as a testimony, look what God did for me, then you discredit yourself for your next blessing. Oh, I thought I was just, you know, but they've been throwing that stuff up in my face all this time. Okay, well, let them throw their stuff up in the face. God knows how to validate you. You understand? Stop trying to prove stuff to people who don't care that you proved anything. All you did was show that your flesh is still alive. Amen? Huh? So if you're going to be a child of God, a king, a prince, a princess, huh? A queen, then you have to learn how to walk in royalty. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. And look at this right here, the end of this fifth verse. According to the good pleasure of his will. How come I can't just do what I want and he just bless me?
Right.
Because that's not the good pleasure of his will. Mm-hmm. That's the good pleasure of your will. And if God blessed you like that, then you would think that your will and the good pleasure of it is God's will. So what ends up happening is God says, no, I need you to be processed a little bit further to get your flesh under subjection. But the enemy comes and gives you a token. Huh? It looks just like what you were trying to get.
Yeah.
And what some of you do is you bite at the line and you get snagged by it. Huh? And after you get snagged by it, then you're trying to figure out how to get free and loose from that thing because it begins to tear at your inside. The blessing of the Lord make us rich and he adds no sorrow with it. That's right. The word of the Lord. So if God gives you a car, you're not trying to figure out from month to month how you're going to make the payment and the maintenance and the insurance and the rest of that. Amen. You get the car that he designs for you. Amen. And then when he gives it to you and it's his blessing, then he makes sure that the payment is taken care of. How many of you ran out there desiring a car? Ooh, I want this, I want this. And somebody told you if you walk around it three times or walk around it seven times and on the seventh time you need to shout and give God the victory and the walls are coming down. Yes, okay, and then you go up in there and they look at your credit. Huh? You talking about miracle signs and wonders. They let you get the car, but you paying 25% APR on it. Talking about, ooh, I got it. And then because you haven't noticed that math still works, you know. And when you pay the high interest, then you paying for that car two times over. So if you had to just listen to the voice of the Lord when he told you to get yourself together, steady yourself, get your credit and your stewardship together, then you could go over there and that same car you could get for 0% down or zero down and 0% APR because your credit looked good because you were a good steward with what God gave you. Lord help us. See, all of this stuff that's going to come to you is going to come through you hearing him and demonstrating properly principles of the kingdom of God. I didn't say world and spiritual principles because there are spiritual principles that the Buddhists follow and that the Hindus follow. Huh? Yeah. And all of that, this law of attraction, the law of prosperity and all the rest of that, that has crept into the church. And if fools take the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to use the word of God to validate other religions and their practices, and those who don't know fall right after it. Running after money. That's why in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, you see, he said in the 5th verse, let me read that for you right quick. Lord, I thank you. Because you're just showing me so much right now. We're just trying to get it all out. Starting at the 3rd verse, it says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords to godliness. I'm not talking about material wealth. I'm not talking about the practice of the presence of God. We just want his presence. We want his presence. When he comes in, he's going to give you your car and your house. And we're crying out, Lord Jesus. You're just trying to get him in there. That's meditation towards, you know, your material wealth and gain. God isn't coming for that. But the enemy who's trying to trick you into believing that's God will give you that stuff. That's what idol worship is. When you begin to bring your goods and your things to anyone other than God, laying money at their feet to worship them. See, and they don't tell you that that's not godly. because they look at how much actually comes at their feet. God will deal with them. But you be wiser, smarter than that. Amen. Some of you really need to begin to study what prosperity theology is. And if you find that you're going to a church where they practice it, you need to find a church where they really preach the true unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not a popular gospel for those who are mainstream, because in order for them to keep those conglomerates afloat and in the red, I mean in the black instead of the red, they got to keep propagating those same lies that got them there in the first place. Huh? Well, we don't have to worry about that. God told us what we need to preach, and we're preaching it, and he's sustaining us and causing us to move forward and grow right now. We're doing greater than we did before when I had a full-time job. We have more than we had then, and we have less stress, and I can focus on the will and the work of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Huh? Three cars in the driveway. Amen. God has blessed us. I'm good. Okay. And when he decides that I need another car, he'll bless me to get that too. Another house, he'll bless me to get that too. Amen. But I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on the ministry of God and the people of God. Amen. You see that? He says, he is proud knowing nothing. For First Timothy 5:6-4, it says he is proud knowing nothing but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, revelings, evil suspicion. Fifth verse, and I like this one. This is where we're going to hang our hat for a second. Useless wrangling of men, listen, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. They can't preach the gospel. They don't know. Amen. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, or godliness will make you rich, or leads to riches. And you follow that theology, trying to do it, and guess what? You aren't following the truth. The Bible just said so. Destitute of truth. Huh? Who suppose the godliness is a means of gain. And then there's a period there. And there's a last sentence that says, from such withdraw yourself. In other words, the way to deal with this is to get away from it. Amen. Now, godliness, sixth verse, with contentment is great gain or great wealth. We need to be content with what God has given us. He's our Father. He knows what we need. He knows what we desire. But we got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Mm-hmm. Learn who you are first, and then you can walk in the fullness of the understanding of what was promised to you based on who you are. Otherwise, you'll be running after what people tell you is yours rightly, and you'll walk in error to get it. If you walk in error to get it, then you'll have to live in error to keep it. God doesn't give you the ability to get it without giving you the ability to maintain it. Huh? If God allows you to achieve it, he'll allow you to stay with it. Amen. The world says, go get it. It's yours. You run and get it. You can't keep it. Here comes the tow truck. Here comes the finance company and everything else. The devil's coming after me. No, no. The devil didn't come after you. Your flesh finally ran out. Huh? Let's get it together. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you because you're speaking to us to revival. You're speaking to us to learn who we really are in you. And it's not after the cars, the houses, and the rest of that. That's the enemy trying to get us off track. But help us to learn that if we seek you first in the your kingdom and your righteousness, then you'll give us everything that we need. I'm not running after another physical manifestation of wealth and money or any of that. When you feel that it's time, you'll give it to me. And I'll be mature enough not to misappropriate it, but use it properly for the kingdom of God. Now, Lord, I pray that if anyone is in that situation, that they repent and they flee from that in the name of Jesus. Pray that they find themselves in a place that preaches and teaches the full, unadulterated gospel. Now, Lord, if there's anyone who is not saved, I pray that they pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a church that will help them to grow and mature and develop in you in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
A Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it is God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.
Amen.